Good morning, everyone. Just enjoying the presence of the Lord right here. If you've gone here for any length of time, you've heard about the message of private worship. Just before I walked up here, Holy Ghost said to me, when they hear those words, private worship, they've heard it so many times now that you're going to have to preface what you say by just asking them, listen to this message. I'm not talking about you plunging into 8 or 10 hours of private worship. And I think that in itself right there is going to help you. Because I know for myself, when we came to our first prayer and power conference back in the 1998-99, we began to hear about private worship. I remember some of the first statements that Pastor Dave made. He said that he would feel like if after that week of the conference, if he hadn't got us to the place that we wanted to spend the time in the closet worshiping the Lord, he felt like he had failed. I remember that. And I remember the attempts that I've made, you know, spending the hours in the prayer closet. And somewhere along the way, the enemy beat me out of it. You know, I've been talking whenever I've been up here about revival. Last week, we talked about being pregnant with revival. This is what I hear the Holy Ghost saying inside of me, and I've heard it being said inside of me for several days. Mark, you're not going to walk into revival without walking into worship. How many of you heard this? Tongues won't give you. You almost know what the next words are, don't you? Tongues won't give you what fasting will give you. Fasting won't give you what private worship will give you. Think about those words. In that is a revelation. And how many times has it just bounced right off of me? Tongues won't give you what private worship will give you. You can spend the rest of your life praying in tongues, and it will do unbelievable change inside of you. But it will not give you what private worship will give you. I have a feeling that this isn't going to be the only message that I preach about this. This is just one message about private worship. And I know now why he wanted this to be the first message. Because like anything else, there has to be something that's going to be the bait. It's going to lure you into something. Most of us don't do things without seeing the benefit at the beginning. Draw me in with something. Give me something that I can see the definite benefit for. You're going to see it today. So go ahead and open your Bible to Matthew 18. Now in Matthew 18, the reason I'm starting there, as we have discovered through Pastor Dave's teaching, you don't want to just take verses out of context. You want to take them in the setting that they exist in. Our real target's going to be in Matthew 21, but let's find out in Matthew 18 a little bit about what Jesus is saying about the innocence of a child. I'm going to begin in verse 1. Matthew 18, verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever, therefore, shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." I don't want to spend, we could spend the whole service on this, on this entire text here of chapter 18. But he goes on to talk about forgiveness. And this is where, if you look in verse 21, "Then came Peter to him and said, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?' Jesus saith unto him, I say unto thee, until seven times, but until 70 times seven. The innocence of a child. You see two children playing, arguing over a little truck. They might get nasty with each other for a few minutes. But you go back a couple hours later, and what do you find? They're playing with something else. Now, their parents might not be that same way. They might see their children arguing, and they might get in an argument, and they'll have an argument for the next 2 years. But the innocence of a child is what? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Forgive. They go on. They forget all about it. What Jesus is establishing here is the innocent nature of a child. And he's telling Peter, it's about forgiveness, Peter. It's not just 70 times. 70 times 7, unlimited amount of times. You forgive. Really, he's saying, because in your new nature will be to forgive. So keeping this in mind, he's talking about the innocence of a child. Turn over to Matthew 21. Jesus is entering into Jerusalem. We're going to read a little bit of a passage here, beginning in verse 1. "And when they drew nigh into Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage, and to the Mount of Olives, then set Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, 'Go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, you shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell you the daughter of Zion, Behold, the king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them the clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. You know, I've heard that word all my life, Hosanna. Isn't it interesting how you're in church forever? You remember the hymnals? I remember the hymnals when I was a kid. Get the hymnals and played with them during church. They had the songs in them. You saw the word Hosanna. It didn't mean anything to me. I didn't understand what that meant. You look up the word. It's a powerful word. They were praising him. As he walked into, rode into Jerusalem, they praised him. Hosanna, our salvation, our Savior. It's words of adoration. Our salvation, our Savior. Those are not just words. Verse 10. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all of them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Notice this. He enters into the temple. What was going on? Hosanna! Hosanna! The words of adoration were being offered. They brought the blind and the lame. They didn't leave that way. Their lives were forever changed. Hosanna! The words of adoration. Our Savior has come. Our salvation is here. See, under the old covenant, normal people, normal folks, normal Jews, they didn't get to go into the holiest of holies. That's where God was. Only the high priest, only the priest that would minister to in the temple. That's the only ones that got to experience God's presence. Normal people. You and me. If we were Jews in that time period, we wouldn't have any idea what that would be like. For once, here, walking in front of them, is God in the flesh. For once, the normal people could offer up worship. And when that happened, look what happened. The blind, their eyes were open. The lame could walk. Do you think that there's something in this private worship that you might be interested in? I know there is for me. How many of you remember this? He saw a stone dropping into a pond. He saw the ripples that spread out across that pond. Pastor Dave saw this image about private worship, how it would affect the inside of him to be filled to overflowing with God's presence to the point that not only would his entire being be changed, but it would affect the geographic area around him. Smith Wigglesworth, most likely this is why when people would get into his presence, they would sense that conviction in their heart and they would want to surrender their life to Jesus. I want to see that in my own life. I want to see these miracles where the blind will see and the lame will walk. And I believe that this is on this pathway that we can't ignore. That this private worship, we can't leave it to somebody else to do for us. You know, I can't worship the Lord for Steve. I can't worship the Lord for anyone. When I speak the words of adoration, when I speak, it's for myself. When I surrender, it's me. It's me. No one can do it for me. That change that happens, it only happens in me when I do it. When I do the thing to cause the change. I am by no means an expert in this. I'm making steps in this direction. I'm spending the time that I have. I'm going to go back at the beginning of this when I said I'm not proposing 8 or 10 hours. Because for a lot of you, you would hear that and you would immediately say, well, I can't do that, so forget it. I can do something. I can do something. You know, it wasn't easy the first time I started praying in tongues for any period of time. You have that mental battle. You sit there and you pray for 10, 15 minutes and it seems like 3 hours have gone by. But slowly as I did it, my time got longer. Before long, I wasn't even really noticing the time. Yeah, there's still times that I sit there and I check my clock. But I've learned to train myself to sit there. Because I look at the benefit. I see the change that it produces. And I realize that's what's important. And you get all of these things that flood your mind about cutting the lawn. That must be a devil, you know. Because I like Gary here, that same voice. That lawn is sure getting tall out there. But you learn over the course of time, as your spirit man develops, you're able to put down those thoughts. You're able to put those things aside. prioritize. That was something that somebody said. It may have been Gary. I don't know. It's amazing how praying in tongues will prioritize your life. The things that you thought were so important. The longer you pray in tongues, the more you realize what's really important. Well, private worship is the same way. There's going to be a time period of breaking into this, of learning how to sit there, learning how to worship the Lord, how to stay focused. Not let your mind drift away. It's a battle. It's a battle. And you know, you're sitting there, I worship you, Lord. I worship you, Lord. And the next thing, you're thinking about that dirty car that needs to be washed. And your mind is, and you got to bring it back in and start again. But this is what I have discovered. I have sensed this battle on the inside of me as I have sat there and worshiped. There's some part inside of me, the spirit man, that craves this worship. And I just want to worship more. And I just want to worship more. And there's the struggle. My head's like, you got to go do this. And you get to feel that tugging and pulling, because the more you do it, the more that your spirit man's like, oh, this is what I've waited for. This. Keep going, Mark. Keep going. And that soulish man's like, that's enough. That car is not going to clean itself. Before long, you give in. But I have started looking forward to those times of worship. And that's when you know that you're making some progress. And you start thinking about, well, maybe if I do this and this, and yeah, here's some time. I can worship the Lord right here. I was coming home the other night. They've been messing around with my schedule at work. Usually I work till midnight. And I was on my way home, and it was 9-ish, 9:30, something like that. And I happened to remember, hey, they've got prayer at church. And well, I drive right by here because we live close. And I drove, I'm going to tell myself, I drove past the driveway, up the hill. I got as far as the new storage place on the top of the hill, and I couldn't go any further. Turned around, came back, came inside, and worshiped the Lord. You know, when you make those kind of sacrifices, it does not go unnoticed. And really, for you, for me, it's one more notch where I've put that soulish man down. Put him down a little bit more. Put him down a little bit more. We will see revival here. And I thoroughly believe this worship is a key that's going to usher this in. Along with the fasting, along with the praying in tongues. I'm not trying to say that it is exclusively going to be what ushers in the revival, but I don't think we're going to get there without it. Amen? And when we're talking about private worship, we're not talking about worship that happens in the service. Because have you noticed that the 30 minutes of worship in the service is not enough to sustain you for the whole week? Has anybody else besides me noticed that? That's not what we're talking about. That won't do it. And like Pastor Dave noted, we can't always have that orchestra following behind us wherever we go, so we can go into private worship at any time. You can't have that music. It's you by yourself. Wherever you can get by yourself. And there, right, Pastor Dave? Raising up your hands. Closing your eyes. Just saying, Jesus, I worship you. I exalt you. Jesus. And he shows up. And it's so sweet. Let's go back to the scriptures here. We stopped at verse 14. Verse 14, and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. The religious leaders hated it. The religious leaders hated it. Religion. Religion hates this. You know why? Because it puts the presence of God into the hands of normal folks. Who would ever think that you could handle being in the presence of God? This is only for people with the tight collars and the long robes. No, this is for us common people. This scripture, we're going to focus on this one, verse 15. Look at this. And the children crying in the temple. The children. The children. The children were crying, Hosanna. The little ones. It was the little ones. They saw him. They recognized him. Hosanna. They were offering up the worship. Hosanna, the praise, the adoration. It was the little. Where were their parents at? Where were they? It wasn't, they weren't the ones doing it. It was the little children. Look what Jesus said. Verse 16. And said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have you never read out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. What he's quoting here is one of the Psalms. So let's go back and let's look at that Psalm. It's Psalm 8. So flip back over. Don't lose your place in Matthew 21. Maybe back there. Psalm 8. Now the Psalms. Is there anyone in the Old Testament? Is there anyone that knew how to praise God like David? And you look at these Psalms, and here's a man spiritually dead. These Psalms that you see are a shadow. They're a shadow of what we have today. It's a shadow of what we have. While you're there, I'm going to read one to you. Psalm 22:3 is what I'm going to read. 22:3 says, But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praise of Israel. Inhabits the praise of Israel. I already told you this morning that The only way they got in God's presence was in the holiest of holies. Inhabiting the praise of Israel is inhabiting our praise. That's the shadow of what we have. When you praise God, He lives in that praise. You start worshiping the Lord. You start praising the Lord. And guess what happens? He shows up. And the more you do it, the more He's going to show up and live there with you. With you. There. Are you a little interested? I have to play this for myself, so in those dry times, I've got something to listen to. Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heavens. Verse 2. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength. See, there's something different. Hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies? Now listen to this, folks. If there is ever a punchline, here it is. That thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. Steal the enemy, thy avenger. Whew. Folks, here's a key for dealing with all those attacks. Here's a key for what you do when the onslaught of the enemy is against you. Here it is. He said, as babes and sucklings. As babes and sucklings. Remember, go back. What was I saying at the beginning from Matthew 18? The innocence of a child. This newborn babe, this babe and suckling is the image, the shadow of our new nature, of our born again new nature. It's out of this new nature that we worship Him. See, under that old covenant, under the old covenant, they didn't have this ability. So here's our Father waiting throughout the ages, waiting for someone, anyone that would have the ability. That would have the ability to just raise their hands and close their eyes and offer up to Him the worship that He's due. Folks, He's due the worship. Amen? He's due the worship. You know why worshiping a person is wrong? Because they're not worthy. They're not worthy. But when someone like our Father is worthy, then worship is the only thing to do. It's the only thing to do. I worship you, Father. I worship you, Father. And it gets so much better. The side benefit will still the enemy. You know, when they walked in, when they got the instructions about Jericho, they didn't say, send in the mighty warriors. We're going to tear this place down. That would have made sense. Send in the praise team. What? That doesn't make any sense. When it's all lined up against you, when he stacked it up, you got the symptoms. You got the symptoms in your body. You got the symptoms in your billfold. You got the kids staring at you that look like they could just, you know, not do nice things to you. You have all these circumstances, everywhere you look, circumstances. What sense does it make at that moment to begin to say, I worship you? Daddy, I am helpless without you. I'm helpless. I need you. And you begin to worship him for who he is. Because it's who he is that's going to show up in your circumstances. And that is what's going to change your circumstances. It's who he is. It's not who you are. And as long as we hold these circumstances in our hands and we try with all of our might to solve our own problems, he'll let us. He'll let you. But when you can say, I give up. I give up. I don't know what to do. But I know you. I know you. And I worship you. Regardless of how this looks, I worship you because I see myself on the other side of this. Do you think we spent any time worshiping when Debbie was attacked with cancer? You have to see yourself on the other side of that attack. And you thank God for being on the other side of that attack. I thank you, Jesus, for the victory. I thank you for the victory. Even when it doesn't look like you're victorious, you have to thank him and worship him in the midst of it. Because that will take you to the other side. That's what will take you over. That's what will take you through. I worship you. I worship you with all of my heart. I worship you. We had a friend of ours that made a CD. In this CD was confessions. And a type of worship with confession. And in the times when she would lay there and she really didn't have enough strength to even do it herself, she could listen and feed her spirit on those words. This will steal the enemy. Who's the enemy? Well, the enemy is the one that God had created in the beginning to be the leader of worship. So guess what? Do you think he hates the fact that a mere human being could offer up worship to the Father? Do you think that that bothers him the least little bit? And that God would show up on your scene, on your behalf, as you worship him and he inhabits that praise? Do you think the devil will maybe not like that? Just a little bit? And maybe he will throw everything at you like the kitchen sink to keep you from doing it. Maybe he'll stack up tons and tons on your emotions trying to stop you. Because maybe he has some idea of the power of this worship that we have no idea about. That we have no idea about. But he must. Because I'm telling you what, if there's anything that will the enemy will fight you on, you try to worship. It's, you know, you see churches with praise teams. You see the sin that gets involved in the praise teams. He'll do anything to try and stop any kind of worship. And now we're here saying, here is private worship, and all you have to do is just offer this up to the Father. I want to read this again because I just like to hear it. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength. I looked up a few of these words. Kind of help us out a little bit. Strength is defined in this passage as force, security, majesty, and praise. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained praise. Because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and thy avenger. Now, if you've still got your place back in Matthew 21, go back over there. We'll read this scripture one more time in verse 16. And said unto him, hearest thou what these say? And Jesus said unto them, yea, have you never read out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise? The word perfected here is defined as complete, thorough, fit, framed, perfect. Perfected praise only comes out of your new nature. So for all the generations, all of the sacrifices, all of the blood sacrifices offered up under the old covenant, think about it. Just think about Solomon. Think about the tens of thousands of bulls that were offered on the altar. And yet none of those came close to what you have available to you through your new nature to offer up to him. Nothing. Raise up your hands. Jesus. Jesus, we worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Father. Father, we exalt you. We praise you. We glorify you. Father, we worship you. We worship you, Father. We worship you, Father. We worship you, Father. We worship you. We exalt you. We praise you. We glorify you, Father. Father, we worship you. Father, Father, thank you for Jesus. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you for Jesus. Father, thank you. We thank you. We exalt you. We praise you. We worship you, Father. We worship you. We worship you. You're so worthy. You're so worthy. You're so worthy of our praise and our worship and our adoration. We exalt you. How wonderful you are. How wonderful you are. We glorify you. We glorify you. We exalt you. How wonderful you are. How wonderful you are. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Again, I'm not suggesting to you to try and set some arbitrary number of hours for yourself, because I don't want you to be disappointed again. I want you to ask the Lord yourself what He wants you to do. And do that. Don't do a number of hours because you heard someone else say something. Because they don't have your schedule. You don't have my schedule. My schedule is crazy. But even in my crazy schedule, I can find time to worship Him. And once again, I don't believe that we are going to step into revival and bypass private worship. I believe Pastor Dave saw this those some odd 10 years ago. And yes, there's been people, there's been groups that have come and they have gone. I'm not going anywhere. I'm here. And I'm going to stay here. I'm not going. And if this is how we get there, then bless God, I'm going to obtain it. We're going to have this. And when the enemy raises up his ugly head, I'm going to worship the Lord. And it's going to still the enemy. Don't turn over there. Just let me read this one to you in Ephesians. And I'm going to quit. Because my time is up. In Ephesians. I looked this up yesterday. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves. The word speaking in this passage is also defined preach. Preach to yourself. Preach to yourself. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Preach to yourself. I hope this morning that I've at least got you to the place that you'll consider private worship. Consider what this means and where this will take us. Because as I said before, revival, it's not going to be because Pastor Dave did this by himself. That's not how it's going to happen. It's going to happen as we collectively walk into revival together. Tulsa is in revival. that's not wallpaper to me anymore. I'll see you in 30 minutes.